passage we'll be looking at this morning as we continue our sermon series in 1 Samuel is 1 Samuel 29. And I titled the sermon Bailout. People might think of different things when they think of bailouts, but I think of when I was a Boy Scout at my first summer camp ever. They decided to take a bunch of 12-year-olds, put them in the lake with a bunch of canoes, and tell them to sink their canoe, right? And so here I was. I weighed probably 70 pounds soaking wet, and my friend probably weighed 50 pounds soaking wet, and the two of us were given the task of taking this canoe out of the water, dumping all the water out, and then flipping it back over and then climbing back into it. Why they thought we would be successful, I have absolutely no clue. But we took some solace in the fact that all the other kids that were the same age as us had the same trouble that we had, right? If I had done it another 3 or 4 years down the road, we would have had no problem, but at that time. So here we are, we're trying to turn this canoe over, and at some point we just decided, okay, we can't get it out, we can't get the water out, so we need to get in there and just start scooping. Right, we didn't have anything to do it with, and so yeah, it was miserable, and so I wouldn't wish it on my worst enemy. I also think about there's a restaurant in Jackson, Mississippi called Cock of the Walk, and you can get the best catfish and fried dill pickles if you've never had them. They're amazing at Cock of the Walk, but it's right next to Ross Barnett Reservoir, and there's a boat launch there. And one day we were eating dinner at the Cock of the Walk, and there's these group of guys that are putting their boat into the water, and for whatever reason, somebody forgot to plug the drain hole in the boat, and you just see it filling with water. And these two guys, these poor guys, in the boat trying to bail out the water with Cool Whip containers. It was like a lesson in futility. Right, so you may think of other things about bailouts. You know, in the years during the economic downturn, the bailouts of some of the auto companies, Amtrak, I know, was bailed out at some point. Some of the airlines, you know, banks that are too big to fail have been bailed out. Right, we're looking at a passage here where David is in an impossible situation, a situation that he never dreamed he would be in and never wanted to be in, and he needs a bailout. And God bails him out. So let's look together at 1 Samuel chapter 29. It says this. Now the Philistines had gathered all their forces at Aphek, and the Israelites were encamped by the spring that is in Jezreel. As the lords of the Philistines were passing on by hundreds and by thousands, and David and his men were passing on in the rear with Achish, the commanders of the Philistines said, "What are these Hebrews doing here?" And Achish said to the commanders of the Philistines, "Is this not David, the servant of Saul, king of Israel, who has been with me now for days and years? And since he deserted to me, I have found no fault in him to this day." But the commanders of the Philistines were angry with him. And the commanders of the Philistines said to him, "Send the man back that he may return to the place to which you have assigned him. He shall not go down with us into battle, lest in the battle he becomes an adversary to us. For how could this fellow reconcile himself to his Lord? Would it not be with the heads of the men here? Is not this David, of whom they sing to one another in dances? Saul has struck down his thousands, and David his tens of thousands." Then Achish called David and said to him, "As the Lord lives, you have been honest, and to me it seems right that you should march out and in with me in the campaign. For I have found nothing wrong with you from the day of your coming to me to this day. Nevertheless, the Lords do not approve of you. So go back now and go peaceably, that you may not displease the lords of the Philistines." And David said to Achish, "But what have I done? What have you found in your servant from the day I entered your service until now, that I may not go and fight against the enemies of my lord the king?" And Achish answered David and said, "I know that you are as blameless in my sight as an angel of God. Nevertheless, The commanders of the Philistines have said, he shall not go up with us to the battle. Now then, rise early in the morning, and with the servants of your Lord who came with you, and start early in the morning and depart as soon as you have light. So David set out with his men early in the morning to return to the land of the Philistines, but the Philistines went up to Jezreel. And this is the word of the Lord. Praise be to God. So, in the last chapter, before Saul went and visited the witch in Endor, the medium, and before he interacted with the spirit of Samuel, before that, Achish is telling David that the armies of the Philistines are gathering together to go and attack Israel, to go against Saul and the armies of Israel. And Achish says, David, guess what? You're in my service. You get to go with me. And I'm assuming he thinks it's an honor, because it sounds like it in this passage, that it was an honor for David to be able to go into battle with Achish. So anyway, David, the entire reason he had left Israel was to avoid this exact instance of having to come against Saul and Saul's armies. And so here he is now in this chapter, going with Achish to fight against Saul. So what's led to this? Well, he fled Israel to get away from Saul. He went to the land of the Philistines. He was making raids against the enemies of Israel, but using that as a deception to make Achish believe that he is serving him as king. So he's making it seem as though he's a servant of Achish, all the while he's doing what he believes is promoting his kingdom. And so it appears as though his loyalty to Saul is over and that he's become an enemy of Israel. But that's not the case. You know, he fled Israel, like I said, to avoid shedding the blood of Saul, but also to avoid having to come into war with Saul to shed the blood of his own countrymen. He didn't want to do that. He was trying to avoid it. That's why he left. So what was going through his mind when Achish says, guess what, we're going to war and you're going with me? Oh no, what have I done? What's happened here? David said to Achish, but what have I done? What have you found in your servant from the day I entered your service until now, that I may not go and fight against the enemies of my Lord? What he's saying here doesn't seem to line up with what he's thinking. Because surely he does not want to fight against Saul. He does not want to kill his own countrymen. That's why he left Israel to begin with. And yet he's sitting here and he's saying, what have you found in me? What have I done that has now allowed you to say, I can't go to war with you? But he's saying this in this passage. He says, that I may not go and fight against the enemies of my Lord the King. There's some people that believe, again, he is still deceiving Achish into believing that he is his servant, but what he's really saying is, you know what? I would love to go to battle with you. Because then I really could go to war against the enemies of my king, Saul. Or go to war against the enemies of my king, God. And so there may still be a deception that's going on here. So is he speaking of going to war against the enemies of Achish? Is he speaking about going to war against the enemies of Saul? Is he speaking about going to war against the enemies of God? You know, and it seems as if David was able to fool Achish, right? The entire time he has been in the land of the Philistines, he's been able to fool Achish into believing that he is his servant, when he's not. But even though he's able to fool Achish, it doesn't mean that he can fool the rest of the Philistines. And look what they said. Send the man back that he may return to the place to which you have assigned him. He shall not go down with us into battle, lest in the battle he become an adversary to us. For how could this fellow reconcile himself to his Lord? Would it not be with the heads of the men here? Is not this the David of whom they sing to one another and dance as Saul has struck down his thousands and David his tens of thousands? Do you think they may have been onto something? Yeah. They knew that David was the one that they sung about in song in Israel, about what a powerful military leader he was. And they had seen his loyalty to Saul and the fact that he's been going around and fighting for the nation of Israel and for Saul over and over again. So even though he may have pulled the wool over Achish's eyes, they see that David actually, if he went into battle again with us, could be using that as an opportunity to prove his loyalty again to Saul. David has tried to show Saul that he is still loyal in previous chapters. Why would he not use this same opportunity to do the same thing? So Achish has been mentioned as king of Gath. Right? None of the other leaders in this passage, none of the other Philistine leaders, are called a king. They're called lords. So the assumption is that Achish has a stronger voice in this argument than the rest of them. But Achish is outvoted. In verse 9 it says, "And Achish answered David and said, I know that you are blameless in my sight as an angel of God. Nevertheless, the commanders of the Philistines have said, he shall not go up with us into battle." Whew. David had to have been able to take a deep breath in this moment. Even though what he says afterwards may still appear like he's trying to go to war with Achish, I'm sure he was sitting there thinking, "Ah, man, I am so glad. I'm so glad I don't have to go do this thing that I did not ever want to do. I am so glad that somebody has bailed me out here." God works in mysterious ways. You've all heard that before, right? God said, David is not going to go to war against his own people. He's not going to kill Saul. And this is how I'm going to accomplish that. I'm going to turn the hearts of the lords of the Philistines against him so that they do not want to go into battle with him, and they're going to want to send him home. God used the lords of the Philistines to save David from going to war against Israel. They didn't say, "Okay, this guy, we know him to be an enemy of us because he's fought against us in the past. He killed Goliath. Why don't we just destroy him and his army right now?" They didn't do that. They said, "Okay, Achish, you know what? We'll give in a little bit here. You know, we don't want him to go to battle with us, but you send him away." And so that's exactly what happened. He sent away. They demanded that he go back to Ziklag. And then so in verse 11 it says, "So David set out with his men early in the morning to return to the land of the Philistines, but the Philistines went up to Jezreel." I would not be surprised if Saul's army saw this happen. I would not be surprised at all if his spies were there watching David go this direction as the armies of the Philistines went this way. To show the nation of Israel that David did not raise his sword against Saul and did not go to war against his own people. We saw earlier in an earlier passage where he was going to go and kill Nabal, and yet he was stopped because he wasn't supposed to have blood guilt. You know, he wasn't supposed to spill blood for the wrong reasons. And in this passage, again, he is being saved from blood guilt. He's being saved from killing Saul. He's being saved from going to battle against his own people. He's being saved from shedding blood that didn't need to be shed by his hand. Can we think of ways in our lives that God has worked, and the only way that we are able to explain it is that God has our back? You know, I have a lot of stories of where I've gotten myself in a pickle, and on the other side of it, I was in a good place. And the only way that I can explain it is that God was at work. There's no other way that I can look at it. You know, there's been times in ministry, there's been times in my personal life where I look back and I say, God was at work there, even though I may not have seen it. God is at work in this story, even though most people might not be able to see it. I guarantee you David knew it. David knew that in this moment, God had spared him the blood guilt of killing his own people. You know, there's another place where we've been bailed out in our lives. Spiritually. In our lives, you know, the scripture says, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and the wages of sin is death. As we sin against God, we're digging that hole, guys. We're digging. Shovel, one shovel at a time, we're digging the hole. And you know what? That hole is so deep, we can't see the top. We've dug a hole for ourselves spiritually through our sin, through our rejection of Him, through our living for our own selves, for living for our flesh. We have dug a hole. And what is our way back from that? What is our bailout? Who bails us out? Yeah, Jesus. God. We've dug the hole so deep we can't climb out. But God comes along and He says, guess what? I'm going to fill it in. Right? So you just climb, keep climbing on top of the dirt that I'm putting back in there. Because if you continue to believe and put your faith in Jesus Christ, I provide salvation. I provide a bailout. I provide a way back from your sin. We deserve death. We deserve eternal damnation. We deserve, on our own, we deserve to be rejected by God. But God doesn't reject us. He sent His Son Christ, Jesus, to lay down His life as a sacrifice to fill that hole. Where we deserve eternal damnation, where we deserve to be rejected by God, if we have placed our faith in Jesus Christ, we receive salvation. We are considered as righteous. We are covered in His blood. We are seen as holy in His sight. We are seen as loved. We are adopted as sons and daughters, and we're given the gift of eternal life. Where we were digging the hole, He was filling it in, making us new, making us whole again. David deserted Israel. He made it seem as though he was serving a foreign king. It looks like he's going to go to war against Saul and the people of God. Imagine if he did fight for the Philistines and he did shed the blood of God's people. Would they have ever accepted him as king? No. But it never got to that. Why? Because God saw fit to save His anointed king. God bailed him out. There's more than one consequence of God bailing out David. And next week we'll see the next consequence. This story splits at this point, right? At a certain point in this passage, you're thinking, okay, David and Saul are coming together. They're going to fight. But at the moment that Achish says, go home, the story splits. Chapter 30 is going to be about David, and chapter 31 is going to be about Saul, and their fates are completely different. But God bailed David out, and it took him in a different path. The Philistines went this way. David and his men went this way. This really reminds me of my favorite psalm. I love Psalm 121. The first two verses are my favorite verses in Scripture. And it says, I lift my eyes into the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. The psalmist is saying, you know, I have placed my faith in a God that will save me. The God that spoke everything into existence will save me. In my time of danger, I lift my eyes into the hills and I see my enemies coming. But I know that my God, the one that created me, the one that created everything, is my Savior. Those that serve God know where their hope lies. They know from where their help is going to come. And that's a comforting thought. The one that spoke everything into existence cares enough about you to sacrifice his only son, to adopt you as his sons and daughters, to make you whole again, to give you eternal life. That God is present, that God has your back. If only you've placed your faith in Him. So as we think about what all He's done for us, what does it call us to do? It calls us to live in obedience to Him as a reflection of our love for Him. God wants us to live in obedience to Him. We screw up. We mess up. We can't do it. It's human nature. We're going to fall from that spot that we try to put ourselves in of being perfect. We mess up. But does that excuse us from trying to live for obedience? No. God wants us to live for Him. And if we look at what God has done for us, if we look at the love that He has for us, it makes it easier for us to look at the things that we're doing that offend Him, turn our backs on them, and walk in the other direction. God loved David with a passion that saved him when he should have been, you know, written off. He does the same for us. He loves us with a passion that even though we've been digging the hole, He's faithful in bringing us out of it.